The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. I'm an extension entomologist, Scott Graham.
And I'm Caitlin Kessheimer, also extension entomologist, and we're back with another episode where we meet with extension personnel from around the state and discuss the latest management recommendations for row crop production. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good. I'm excited for our guest today. We have Dr. Rishi Prasad, who is an assistant professor and extension specialist who works in nutrient management from an environmental and agronomic perspective. So what are we discussing today?
All right. So we are discussing about broiler litter. You know, we are chicken state. Alabama is number two in broiler production. And I guess it's important to talk about chicken litter, chicken poop that's being used by the row crop farmers all over the state.
Get a lot more out of our chickens than just chicken wings, huh?
That's right. We need to make sure that we get every squeeze out of it.
So I got a couple of questions for you. First, just kind of tell us what is broiler litter and what all nutrients are in it.
Right. Before I talk about broiler litter, I mean, people always think about chicken, right? I mean, there are two kinds of it. One that's used for eggs, which is called as layer, and there's another chicken that is used for meat purpose, and that's called as broiler. So there's a clear difference between a broiler litter versus a hen layer or layer litter. So in our state, in Alabama, we have more than 2,700 growers who raise broiler litter, or broilers in the state. And so broiler litter is basically a mixture of chicken feces, feed or spilled feed, the bedding material that is used to raise the chicken. So in total, it's a mixture of all these three things.
Interesting. I had no idea we had that many broiler producers in Alabama.
Right.
Is there a reason, is there something about, do they feed them different? The reason that we use the broiler litter and not the layer litter, or?
No, broiler is typically used for meat purposes, and of course their feed is different than what is used for the egg purposes or the layers. Their feed are different, and that's why the composition of the litter or the poop that comes out is very different.
That's interesting.
Right. Speaking about nutrients, right, broiler litter is, it has nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and it also has micronutrients like zinc, boron, molybdenum, you know, stuff like that, which are really required by the plants. Even though they are in small amount, but the plants need them. You don't want those nutrients to be a limiting factor. And broiler litter has that right composition of all these different nutrients which the plants needed.
So with all those nutrients you just listed, are all litter created equal, or do some of them have different amounts of different nutrients?
No, you asked a really right question. And from a grower's perspective, I want to emphasize that not all litter are created the same, okay? And there are a lot of reasons for that. I mean, the first reason is who knows what kind of diet a chicken is being fed, right? I mean, it depends from one integrator to the other. Every integrator uses a different formula. If you're using a different ingredients, the quality of litter that comes from these broiler houses will be different. The second important factor that determines the nutrient content is the age, or even the number of flocks that has been raised before that litter was cleared from the broiler house. So some growers, say for example, clear the houses after 1 year, even 6 months, and there are some growers who do not clean the houses at least for 3 years. So imagine this huge inconsistency in clearing the houses. And again, like, industry is moving towards where they're asking the growers to clean like less frequently. like a year or 2 years. And when a grower gets like a litter that has been in the house for a couple of years, you know, those litter are really good. I mean, they have high nutrient content and they're really good compared to the ones that are clean like really frequently, like 6 months or even 4 months. But again, like sometimes a grower, like a chicken grower, has to clean the house because of the disease. And in that case, maybe after 3 or 4 flocks, there was a disease incident and the grower has to remove or clean the house. So if you apply that litter in the field, of course, it's not gonna supply a lot of nutrients, but it may rob some nutrients from the soil itself, because there are two processes. One is called as mineralization, and the other part is called as the immobilization. So if you are putting like a really fresh litter, which was clean like after maybe 3 or 4 cycles, the chances are it will be rich in bedding material, which are made up of like woods and or wood chips or pine hulls or whatever it is, and it can cause nutrients to immobilize rather than providing nutrients into the soils for the crops. So you have to be careful.
So is it pretty readily available to the grower or the buyer of the litter how old it is? Do they need to test it to see what levels are?
Like a nutritional content panel?
Does it have a label?
Yeah. Right. I mean, typically, you know, it's always advised to test, but do not guess, but test, right? That's a common philosophy. And that should be practiced by the growers. They should take samples and send to a lab and look at what the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium contents are before they should apply it. It's really important.
And is that, can I send it to Auburn, like with the soil testing lab?
Yes,
or is that a different lab?
Definitely we can send to Auburn Soil Testing Lab, but also there are some other commercial labs that do testing the broiler litter or the animal manure on a regular basis. So yes, there are several options.
So say we have a source of litter, we get it tested, it has the right nutrients. When do we put it out relative to the crop?
So that's a really, really good question, and I'm glad that you have asked that. Many growers do not realize that litter, when they apply to their land, there is a certain window when they release the nutrients. I have seen like several growers apply litter like 6 months in advance. And if somebody is doing that, probably that is not the right practice for several reasons. The research that I have done and what I have found, or what my team has found, is 15 to 20 days before you plant, that's the best time when most of the nutrients from the litter is available for the plants to take. If you apply like 3 months in advance, probably you will lose a lot of the nitrogen value and potassium value. But phosphorus, yes, that will be present, but you're gonna lose all the nitrogen and most of the potassium if there is a big rainfall event after you applied and before you have planted your crop.
So you said 15 to 20 days
before planting.
Before planting.
Right, that's the right window. If you have to get maximum benefits from the broiler litter application.
Does that vary by crop at all?
No, I mean, it doesn't vary. I mean, the deciding factors are basically your weather conditions. I mean, say for example, you applied the litter today and it rained for next 3 days, right? So in that case, you lose some of the nutrients that are in there through leaching or volatilization or denitrification, whatever the route is. The other part that also changes the way litter releases nutrients is the soil types. Say for example, you apply litter in Tennessee Valley, those thick, heavy clay soils. In those places, the nutrient release is faster and, you know, it stays in the soil for the plants to take. But if you're applying litter in, say, for example, coastal plain soils or coarse textured soils, the nutrient release is not really high, and then they are very subjected or prone to loss, especially through a leaching route when there's a rainfall event.
How much litter is typically applied to a field prior to planting in that 15 to 20 day window? And how much of those nutrients you mentioned can we get? So how much nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are we getting?
Right. So most growers in the state, you know, they apply typically 2 tons of litter. And from a general nutrient analysis standpoint, what we have seen is typically a broiler litter is has a fertilizer grade of 332, meaning every 1 ton of litter can has 60 pounds of nitrogen, 60 pounds of phosphorus, and 40 pounds of potassium. So that's the total. But not all of that is available to the crop immediately. I just mentioned that the rate of nutrient release, it depends upon the soil type. And the research that I have done, what we have seen is like, say, for example, nitrogen. In Tennessee Valley, heavier soils, we see a nitrogen release of almost 36% compared to a coastal plain soil where we see only 20% of nitrogen that is present in the litter is released. So you see quite a bit of difference between the soil types and weather conditions as well. Potassium, we have seen that 80% of potassium is released quickly. I mean, it's very water soluble. So if you apply litter, 80% of potassium that is present in the litter quickly dissolves in water and is immediately available to the plant. Now, when it comes to phosphorus, almost 50% of phosphorus that is present in broiler litter, that is water soluble, meaning when you apply litter, we can take 50% of the total phosphorus that is present in litter to be available for plant use. But again, like these numbers change based on the soil type, based on the weather conditions. All these factors really play an important role of how much total nutrient will be released for crop uptake.
So if I needed twice that much, could I just double my litter? Or is, you talked about percentage of nitrogen that's released. Is that relative to the soil or relative to the amount of chicken litter that's been laid?
Right. Many people think that if I apply, you know, rather than 5 tons, I mean, if I apply too much, like typical rate is 2 tons, right? If some grower says like, no, I'm going to double the amount, 5 tons. What we have seen that it really slows down the release rate of nutrients if you start doubling the amount of litter that you put in the field. And again, think about this. I mean, the release of nutrients from litter, it is a microbial process. The microbes have to chew on it and break it, and then that's how they release it. Now, if you put too much of litter, I mean, of course, that's too much food for the microbes, and they're not going to chew all of them at one time. So the release rate kind of changes. So if you put 5 tons, the release rate kind of like drops down significantly compared to a 2-ton chicken litter. 2-ton chicken litter will release nutrients much faster than a 5-ton rate.
So the old thought of some is good, more is better doesn't necessarily,
absolutely,
that doesn't fly for this.
I was thinking about ice cream for that, so thank you for that analogy. Too much ice cream, bad, is what
absolutely.
I'm just thinking.
Well, I haven't found that limit yet. But.
So we're talking about applying chicken poop to the land as fertilizer. Can you talk about some potential environmental issues with this?
Yes. Again, you know, if somebody is really doing a good job of managing the litter and applying the litter in the correct rate and the correct timing, we will not run into any of the environmental issues. The environmental issues kick in when a grower or a producer is applying a really high amount of litter and he is applying repeatedly year after year after year. And in that, if somebody does that, what happens is the phosphorus level in the soil starts building up pretty quickly. And, you know, I mean, all the water quality issues related to eutrophication, you might have heard about the gulfs and the dead zones and the algal bloom. Those are like, you know, related to nutrients such as phosphorus and nitrate. I mean, depends upon whether we are in fresh water seawater, I mean, which is the limiting nutrient. So in freshwater, it's mostly the phosphorus. If the soils are high in phosphorus because of this practice of repeated application of poultry litter, and when it rains, it's going to dissolve that phosphorus and it's going to take it to the creek and then eventually to the water body, and that particular water body will become eutrophic. It accelerates the rate of trophism in the lake, and the lake will start showing these algal blooms or some weeds that will grow in the lake, and that causes like whole different bunch of problems which are related to water quality, especially like the drinking water quality. I mean, most of these algae release toxins and it can be a problem. So yes, I mean, excess of anything is really bad, but if you are doing it in the right way, putting the right amount at the right time, and maintaining all those buffers and the distances that are recommended by NRCS and other government agencies. So if you're doing and following all those guidelines, you become a good steward of managing the litter and also a good steward of the environment and the land as well.
I would think on top of all the negative things you said, if you're putting out too much, then every time the wind changes direction, you got another neighbor calling and complaining.
Absolutely.
Too. So.
and that's the worst call to take.
Yeah. All right. We appreciate your time. Can you give us just real briefly some updates on some of the current research y'all are doing to try to help?
Right. I mean, we are doing a couple of, some important work related to broiler litter application in the state. One thing that producers have asked for is if they are using broader litter in their fertility program, they should cut some of the fertilizers back, and the question is by how much. So we are conducting some litter and fertilizer rate studies where we apply litter as any growers will apply in like a couple of months in advance, and then we are looking into applying different rates of nitrogen and see where do we hit the maximum, because that can become a recommendation as how much credit you can take from litter application. It doesn't matter whether it's nitrogen or phosphorus or potassium. The other important research that we are looking into, that aspect of, you know, this repeated application of litter will lead to phosphorus saturation in the soils, right? I mean, if you keep applying litter, your soil will be saturated. So we are trying to understand the phosphorus storage capacities of Alabama soils so that we can provide or recommend a grower like when to stop further application and avoid any environmental consequences. So we are heading into those arena and trying to explore different things by looking into the soils, different functional capacities of the soil to store phosphorus, and those are the things that's going to help us to formulate some of the laws and regulations that are associated with the rates and applications of litter in the state.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us today, Rishi. I had a really good time and learned way more about broiler litter than I ever knew before.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you very much for hosting me.
Yeah, we appreciate your time today. Thank you all for joining in with us. And as always, if we can ever be of any help, please let us know.
The Alabama Crops Report podcast is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System and is sponsored by Alabama Ag Credit.